Inspiration, Adventist Reflections.
Now, to discuss character building ideas, here is your host, Dr. Danzy.
Hi family, welcome back to the Adventist Reflections podcast. I would like to share with you a quote from the book Spiritual Gifts, volume 3 and page 266 and 267. The Sabbath especially was given for the benefit of man and for the honor of God. So today we will explore this idea of the benefit of man and the honor of God in relation to the Sabbath. But before that, I would like to greet you all far and near. And I'm glad that you're back to discover some character building ideas on this new season of ministering to those in need. Today's musical blessings come again from my beautiful wife, Alyssa, and I hope that you enjoy them as much as I have been doing myself. And today again, I'm joined by our special guest, Catalina. And I would like to, before we go on to anything, to invite Catalina to let us know about who she is. Welcome back, Catalina.
Thank you for having me.
So, Catalina, who are you?
In terms of spirituality and church context, I just say I'm an active church member.
Right.
I love being involved in the work of my church. Mm-hmm. And I also am very independent in that I like to stay active in my own personal ministry. So to sort of touch a little bit on that, I have a ministry called ACTS, which stands for Adventist Committed to Serve. Mm-hmm. In which we work together with that, mm-hmm. and we also, you know, invite our church members to get involved in that as well. Mm-hmm. And then I also have a podcast, which mm-hmm. is called Connected Adventist. I nearly just forgot the name of it.
That happened to me last week.
I had to think about it. And God has opened the doors for me to start a YouTube channel as well. Mm-hmm. I'm still producing videos for that, so I won't tell you what the channel name is. Later on, I'll let you know once I'm ready to let it all out and show everyone all the videos.
Nice.
So that's what I'm doing at the moment.
Nice. I thought it was going to be the same name, so now I'm puzzled and looking forward to it for sure. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. If you haven't listened to the previous episode, which is lesson 2 of the Sabbath School, I encourage you to go back and do it. But I think I might have mentioned on that episode that I couldn't think of anybody else at the moment that I can think of that is more actively involved in communities where I live that I wanted to invite to participate on this lesson, so ministering to those in need. So Catalina is well fitting to this challenge of recording these next 12 episodes, 11 now.
Yeah, so. I love the focus of the lesson, so I'm for it.
You are it. You have to be here. So thank you. Now, we had a challenge, Catalina. I don't know what you did with it, but I did it, and I have some news to report. Do you have some news to report?
I do. Okay. Might not be as exciting as yours, though.
No, I was about to say that. I was about to say, I'll start with mine and you follow with yours because yours is probably a little greater than mine. I'll tell you what mine is. Anyhow, so I contacted these two friends of mine who I haven't contacted for a long time throughout my travelings in different places where I have worked. And the only thing that I said was, hey, how you, the thing that we just mentioned before, in the challenge, hey, how you going? I woke up really literally thinking about you, which was real. And I wonder how you're going, and you know, I wonder if everything is okay. And the responses were very positive. I think that's what I got. I didn't get any opportunity to serve. I didn't get anything like, you know, life sucks, I need help. But I think that's very, very common. I don't think people straight away tell you, especially men, I guess, oh, you know, my life is horrible, I need some support. But it was very positive in the sense, one of them said to me, oh, how lovely of you, that's great, great to hear from you. And he did say that, I think, how lovely. So I thought that he might have created some positive emotion in him. I was excited, I was able to reconnect with them, so I'm hoping to be able to do that too. How about you?
Yep. So I did the same. So there is a particular friend that I have that we don't really keep in contact very often. She's in Bundaberg on top of it to make it even worse.
Okay. That's fine.
Not even far. But it's definitely one of those friendships that when you do connect, it's mm-hmm. really sweet. Like, it's just really nice. But I haven't spoken to her for a while, and I just sent her a message just because I prayed about who to send a message to, and I really wanted to be intentional in sending it to someone that I felt impressed and led to contact. So like you, or you said that name just popped up.
Mm.
So yes, I messaged her, and again, I mean, I didn't get an opportunity to give her a chance to let me know if there was anything that I could help her with either if the conversation didn't go there. You know, I think we need to understand that in service to others, it's just investing time and energy. And whether that is in a physical way of let me go and help you do something, or it is I just was thinking of you and I want to acknowledge that, hey, you know, I wanted to keep in touch. I think there's so many ways of serving people that it's not just always let me feed you, let me clothe you. There's a lot of other ways that we can do things that actually have a really positive impact on people. I mean, that demonstrates Christ because
for sure.
He took the time out.
You mentioned something important, which is that investing time, right? It is definitely something that we have to be mindful, especially in this day and age. I was speaking with our pastor in the middle of the week about the millennial culture and the digital discipleship conference that is coming that I know that you're going to.
Hello.
And we were talking about this fast pacing in the sense of the millennial culture and the devices that we have attached, or I have attached to my hands very often, my mobile phone that is. I feel that I have some codependency. Well, I don't know if codependency is the right thing, because my device doesn't depend on me, and I'm sure people don't depend on my posts. It's rather me depending on being there and thinking that I'm contributing something good. So we spend so much time in there that we don't have, sometimes we feel that we don't have time to invest in meaningful relationships, I think. Well, thanks for that. Thanks for doing the challenge. And I am assuming you have a challenge for us at the end today.
I do.
So I'm looking forward to it. So stay tuned. But today we'd like to discuss a couple of ideas. One is we would like to reflect on Sabbath as a remembrance of equality. And with that idea, we'll speak about we being creative beings as well as being redeemed beings and what it has to do with equality. And number two, the forgotten art of the Sabbath ministry. I think is an important aspect that this lesson brings. So, question for you, Catalina. When you think of the Sabbath, like straight through, when you think of the Sabbath, what do you think of? What comes to your mind straight away?
Okay, being so honest with you, it means work to me.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. Look, I made a list of my own and I didn't put that one. Okay, good. Work.
Yeah, for me, it means like hand to the plow. Like, I must say, I feel that Sabbath has had different stages in my spiritual walk.
Okay.
I believe that there was a period where, when, especially when I was in Brisbane and I worked full time and Stevie worked full time, Sabbath was we're sleeping in. It was we're going to get to church for the sermon.
Yeah.
We're going to leave after the sermon. We're going to go for a nap and then maybe go visit family.
Right.
Like, I feel that based on where I have been spiritually, Sabbath has looked very different in my Christian journey. So for me, like now, Sabbath is work. And I jokingly say that I rest on the first day of the week.
Right.
So Sunday is like just wind down, you know, we get out of bed later and we have a big breakfast because there's no need to rush out the door kind of thing. So for me, definitely Sabbath is a day where I know it is a day of service and it is a full day of service. More specifically in the church, it's not necessarily that I do a lot of community work on Sabbath, and that is probably because I do a lot of community work the other days.
Right.
But in terms of the things that we are looking at, the topics, and you said, you know, equality and in relation to created being and redeemed beings, when I look at it in terms of the spiritual side for me personally, I think it definitely is a time where I can disconnect from a lot of other things.
Right.
So I do feel that on a spiritual level, it is a disconnect for me. Okay. It is for me the opportunity to just disconnect from all the other stuff. I'm a homeschooling mom, so I'm like, thank you, I do not have to worry about school.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gives me that rest from all the other stuff.
Right.
And I can just totally focus 100% on, just service for that day.
Mm-hmm. I resonate with you. I resonated so much with what you just said in relation to the Sunday. And Adventists who are listening to this, don't worry, I don't think Sunday is a day of rest, but it does feel like that, because Sunday feels like that. It's a time to relax, but it becomes really my family time a lot of the times, or friends time sometimes, you know, friendships and things like that. And so I don't rest either. And then on Monday I go to work. I used to, and I feel trashed, like literally the physical rest doesn't come. That doesn't mean that I don't enjoy the Sabbath blessing. Actually, it's the best day that I can think of my whole week. But when I started working part-time, just, I don't know, it's been maybe 3-4 months ago now, Monday I had off. And it was such a blessing because the Sabbath was so full on, and then my Sunday was kind of relaxing, but I had to do all these things that I cannot do in any other time, you know, the weeding and the mowing and the cleaning the shit. And then on Monday, I crashed, literally. Mm-hmm. I was just working on my spiritual, you know, journeys. We'll spend hours studying the lesson, preparing for the podcast. Then we do the K group in the evening. So it was really good, but it was my relaxed day. And I'm thinking, you know, I need more days of the week. And when I sit back thinking about Sabbath, I'm thinking, well, that's what it's meant to be. But it continues to be the best day of the week for me, nevertheless.
I know.
And that just has something to do divinely done. Because how can it be that I still feel that I need a rest after the math? Could it be that we're too busy doing things? When I think about Sabbath, I'll be honest, I made my list. I have it here in front of me. And my list says church, Sabbath school, potluck lunches, haystacks, and family. That's as they came to in my head. And that's probably the stereotypical aspects of Adventism. But I guess I'm a stereotypical Adventist. But you're right. I think we do a lot of things in ministry in terms of enrich, I think will be the right thing in the church, that we spend a lot of time. And I think that's one of the things that catches my attention in my life. I do a lot of enrich, but I know that you do a lot of outreach throughout the week. I don't. I mean, anyhow, tell me something. Can you think or share of a blessing for you related to Sabbath keeping? Because Isaiah 5:58 says that Sabbath will be a blessing to you. What about yours?
Yeah. Okay, like I said, Sabbath is very different in different stages, and I believe that the blessing of the Sabbath has come in different forms as well.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of our walk, where we weren't very spiritual, our life didn't really revolve so much around our faith. You know, there was a blessing because we actually could sleep, we could rest, we could stop. My husband had his own business, he was very busy.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, it was the one time where he could turn his phone off and he just did not care.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care who arrived, what they needed. There was just this, like, I think it's just the fact that you can just mentally switch off and just not care. And just be at peace that God's got it worked out. Like, whatever happens at a job site, he doesn't care, because he knows that he's doing what is right, and that God will take care of it and it'll be fixed. So for me, I think now, if I was to look at now, the biggest blessing for me, and I suppose given, you know, where we are, we're in a sort of isolated area. We don't really have a lot of family.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a lot of friends. And, well, I do experience the same blessing at our care group on a Monday night, is just that family, just that group environment. Mm-hmm. For me, who is with girls all day, every day, and then, you know, Stevie gets home in the afternoon, to be able to have that group, that sense of community, that is probably the biggest blessing for me at this stage, because I don't have that any other day apart from at care group. And then when I'm working with community members, it's slightly different. So for me, the blessing of the Sabbath is just having that belonging, having that sense of fellowship, just sitting around the table with 20 people. That's the blessing for me at this stage in my walk, is really.
Yeah, I resonate with that.
I can't say family, because to be honest, like, I think I am the most distracted on Sabbath when it comes to my family and my kids.
Right.
I'm convinced, maybe if we cross paths once, that's great. But my kids, I don't really see them. They're in their Sabbath school. And so for me, it is more the fellowship of that, you know, the bigger group. And
we could argue it's your church family, right?
Yes.
Your church family. I have vivid memories of literally, I grew up in an Adventist home and then I sidetracked and whatever. But I have vivid memories telling my mom and whinging to her that I did not have enough time to do my homework thanks to Sabbath. Mm. I'm not kidding you. I said, look, I have all this stuff to do and we have to go to church and I cannot do my homework on Friday night or Saturday the whole day. And then Saturday night, I don't want to do my homework because Saturday night was like whatever happened, you know, in Adventism, you know, all the social activities. Yeah. But one thing that I did notice over the years, even though I whinged, is that somehow, I don't know how, God gave me the ability, and I maybe some other people have the same perception, I don't know, that on Sunday, I finished very, very quickly my homework, and I had the whole day, literally, to do whatever I wanted. I wonder if I were to have done it on Sabbath, I will have spent the whole day doing it and not finish so quickly. Maybe the pressure, I don't know, something kicks in the brain. Well, probably, maybe. But God does that. And I experienced that even in university later on. And it wasn't, I think, until my senior years of high school that I realized the blessing of Sabbath. And I remember, again, vividly coming to the kitchen in that house in Mexico to tell my mom, it was a Friday afternoon. I'm so looking forward to the Sabbath. Because I wasn't thinking of absolutely nothing, you know, no homework, no studies, no nothing, no peer pressures. It was really, really nice. And now it's the same, you know, the body knows it. There's a lot of science behind it, but the body knows it. It's a true blessing. When you think of the Sabbath, Catalina, when you think of the Sabbath, would you say that the first thing that comes to your mind is that you were created by God? In his image. When you think of the Sabbath, do you think of being created as such? Of God as a creator?
No, but I think that in essence, there was a time that Sabbath really reminded me that I'm a daughter of God. Mm-hmm. There was a really deep sense of my self-worth. Mm-hmm. And it was a remembrance of you were created by a divine God. Like you were made perfect. And I always tell my girls whenever they say to me, they're like, you know, look at that flower, it's so beautiful. Look at the sunset. Look at the bird. Mm. And I always say to them, that's because God made everything good. And then I look at him and I'm like, but remember, he made you very good.
Yeah,
so
right.
Constantly, I always remind them of this connection. And it was really sweet because one day Naomi looked at me and she's, you know, Naomi's eight. Uh-huh. She looked at me and we're looking at a bird in a book. And she's like, Mom, but look at how beautiful that bird is. I'm like, I know. And I was about to do my usual line, and that's because God made everything good, but he made you very good. And she looked at me and she's like, and God made me even prettier than that bird. I'm like, yes.
It's sinking in.
We've won for the gospel. But it was a period definitely where God, based on where I was, God really used the Sabbath to remind me, like, you were created by my hand and you were created in perfection and everything about you was to glorify who I am as a creator God. So, yes, there was definitely an element of that based on where I was. And I think the deeper that we really assess and evaluate what the Sabbath means to us, if we sit there today and say, hey, what does the Sabbath mean to me? I think God will show us very different things of where the Sabbath needs to minister to our heart. And that may look very different between what one person needs and what another person needs.
Very good. Yeah. I have a different experience. I have read Steps to Christ. I have read many times. I have read the idea that we have to Sabbath. You know, it's a good opportunity to see God in creation. But it's not the first thing that comes to my mind, if I'm honest.
No.
When I was thinking of pondering on this idea for this lesson, I thought, I don't tend to remember that. I remember the Sabbath, but even though we recite every Friday night in our opening of Sabbath in our family, the fourth commandment, it's like reciting John 3:16, everybody does, but we sit and ponder about the seriousness of the matter. And that has happened to me, I think, and called my attention that I need to stop a little bit and reflect on this idea of who God is and who I am as a creative being and why the Sabbath is there. And this brings the idea, and it was very clear in the lesson, and I would like us to think now about this, that when we think of the Sabbath, we really could consider the idea of equality of the human race, of human rights. Now, I don't know about you, I'll be honest with you, until now, I had never thought of that. What about you? Have you thought about
that? No.
Okay. So the idea, right, is that God created everybody, and in his beautiful commandment giving of the Sabbath, he's saying, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, 6 days shall thou work. And then he says, you know, and everybody with you will keep it the same. You're not going to make anybody to work or inflict any pain or any suffering or any discomfort or any stress that is on you. Your son, your daughter, your servant, your everybody, even your stranger, whoever comes in your land, whoever comes to visit you, don't make them to do any of this stuff. And even goes beyond that. I mean, we're going to keep it here about human beings, but even goes the beasts that you do use. You know, I mean, I don't use beasts to work, but I can think of, you know, cattle farmers and that kind of stuff. They use working dogs. Give them rest because you all were created by me, God, the creator, and you are all created beings. And that puts us in the same level. No class, no money difference. The guy who might be drunk in the corner of the street or the shopping mall is the same thing as me who is doing whatever I do. It brought something interested, at least in my mind. What was your experience when you thought about this idea of equality?
I mean, when I looked at it, this is obviously for those who know my background, we are very conservative, and I believe that in the essence of loving the law, sometimes you can forget that the law is a gift. It's a demonstration of love. Like you can, and I compare it to my kids. Like I tell my kids, there's certain things we don't do. They don't see it out of love. They see it as a rule. And until they are old enough to understand the love that is behind that rule, it's always just going to be a rule. So I believe that when I started looking at the lesson, and I really liked how they brought it out, when I started looking at the whole aspect of the Sabbath and understanding, I mean, I love the Sabbath, like you said. It's never been something that has been out of bondage and I need to keep it because otherwise I'm lost. It has never been like that for me with the Sabbath. But I must say it did become something that was just routine.
Right.
And I didn't really see it as a gift. So when I looked at, and we've had people at our house, we've had contractors, and we've had certain things where we just like, can you please not, you know, do this on Sabbath? If you can fix it, you know, another day, fix it another day kind of thing. And my dad's a mechanic, so he knows, like, we've asked him, please don't fix our cars on Sabbath when he has them and he's trying to work on them. Or he'll say, come on Sabbath and I'll do the service. I'll be like, no, we'll come on Sunday. But we had some contractors working at our house, and we said to them from the moment they were staying at our house because they were friends. So we had them, and they wanted to get the job done really quickly because they were extending our house. So they wanted to work 7 days a week. So we said to them, look, you guys, we would like you to have Sabbath off. And I know that in the essence of telling people that we would like them to observe the Sabbath while they're, you know, with us, it can seem as like a constraint on them. It can seem like you're just being restrictive. But unless we see the purpose behind the Sabbath, like when it says in the commandment, like don't let anyone work, it's not because it's a rule. It's not because it's like you be in control, you're the boss, you have to make sure that God is saying let everyone be blessed by the Sabbath. Let everyone experience the gift of the Sabbath. Even your animals be blessed by the Sabbath. And if you understand that the blessing, that the Sabbath is a blessing and it's a gift, it's not a rule, like it's something that's going to be beneficial to us. And as a lesson goes into it, it touches on that even more. But we have to understand that by allowing those people that work for us to experience the gift of the Sabbath, that they will be, you know, they will be re-energized for another week. And I thought that was really interesting because the Sabbath is there for those who believe and for those who don't believe. If you believe in the Sabbath, share that gift with those who don't believe by letting them have a time of rest, letting them have that 24-hour period where you can rest just as we rest. Just because we're the master doesn't mean that you have to keep on working. We want you to experience the same gift that we are experiencing.
I resonate with this idea that it's a good opportunity of spiritual service, isn't it? To sharing to some people who might not even have a clue what that is like. When I think about this idea of Sabbath, you know, it says remember Sabbath to keep it holy. So to keep it holy, it comes to mind this concept of holiness. There is this text in Revelation chapter 4. I don't recall the verse, but it talks about it. You know, you have the beasts and you have the angels, and well, the beasts and angels, the same thing. Anyhow, and they're saying to God, holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy.
So who really is holy is God. And yeah, we can be holy through him, but he made the Sabbath like him. So is this exciting? Because as you mentioned this idea, it came to me because you're mentioning the idea that, you know, we can share with others the blessing that we have experienced, that God has given us. And when we keep the Sabbath holy, the reality is that we are having a participation of God's character. Mm-hmm. And by we serving others, sharing it with others, they can also see God.
Yeah.
And experience something they might have never experienced before. So we have seen the Sabbath as creative beings. Now we can see the Sabbath also as redeemed beings. And, uh-huh, and so this is rather an interesting, I think, an important part, because last week we spoke about this bondage of Egypt, the idea that the people of Israel came out of bondage. And we agreed that this was a parallel to freedom from sin, from the bondage of, yeah, sin. So the commandment first is given as we know it, with the words that we know it, because we know that Sabbath was established at creation. It wasn't something new. It wasn't a Jewish matter. But the Jewish people needed to be remembered because they were in Egypt with all these pagan people. And the Sabbath might have been, you know, a bit turmoil with all sorts of paganistic traditions, and maybe it have been forgotten. They were slaves. They had no choice. You had no choice, yeah, but to work on Sabbath. And so, yeah, they were used to this stuff. So gives the Sabbath, he says, remember, you know, remember that from creation I established this.
Uh-huh.
And he says to keep it holy. And he mentions, because, you know, I created all this stuff. But then he delivers it again in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12 and 15. And this time, instead of saying, you know, because I created everything. So I'll just read very quickly that section. It's Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verses 12 to 15, that's where we have that repetition of the remember the Sabbath again. And it says, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there through the mighty hand and by a stretched arm out. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So he's telling them, remember also that I took you out from that bondage. I don't know, but when I think of Sabbath again, I think of haystacks. But I forget of my Redeemer. And not because I forget intentionally. I mean, I'm working for him. I'm in church. I'm doing the elder duty. We're doing the Sabbath school. We're doing everything, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't say that I'm intentionally waking up or starting, yeah, on Friday night and waking up rejoicing, saying, thank you, Lord, for today's rest. Thank you for dying for me at the cross. It doesn't come to my mind. What is, yeah, your experience, Catalina?
Yeah, I agree. I think when Sabbath starts become maybe too routine, when Sabbath starts become something that you don't longer look forward to,
mm-hmm,
I think that's when God wants to take us back to remember where you came from. And then you'll remember of how much God has done. So the other thing too that I found, which is really interesting, which if you have a look at the commandments in Exodus, if you have a look, the emphasis there is the creator God, like, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, and I created the heavens and the earth. And then when you have a look at the repetition of what is given in Deuteronomy 5,
mm-hmm,
then when you have a look at that, the emphasis there is more of the emphasis is placed on making sure that no one is working on the Sabbath. When I looked at that, I thought, okay, that really shows the way that, you know, we've been brought out of sin. So when we learn about the Sabbath, I believe that the emphasis should be based on, you know, Exodus 20. Mm-hmm. It says the emphasis there should be God.
Yeah.
Like as we've come out of, you know, bondage, let us realize that the Sabbath is to remind us of the God that took us out of captivity, the God that redeemed us, the God that saved us, the God, mm-hmm, that was there from the beginning to the end.
Mm.
And then as our walk continues, we go from Exodus to Deuteronomy. Mm-hmm. Now God's like, okay, now I need you to worry about everyone around you. I need you to bless the people around you. And, mm-hmm, when we look at, you know, the emphasis of the commandments that, you know, love God and love your neighbor,
mm,
I feel that there is a focus in the reason why the commandments were given, and specifically the Sabbath. The focus initially in Exodus was, don't forget about me. Mm. Remember me.
Mm.
I know you were in the world. I know you have forgotten about me, but now remember.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're Christians. Now they're Jews. They're Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
And now in Deuteronomy, me. He's like, okay, now I need you to care for those around you. I need you to not be so, I need you to not be so worried about yourself. Right. I need you now to take your spirituality to the next level and to let your spirituality and your commitment and your love and your dedication be demonstrated to those that are within your gate and to those, you know, don't know what's going on with your faith, with your journey.
Right.
That redemption that we have found, we are then now to share that and to sab the perfect opportunity to now go out and to do a work that we haven't done in other days of the week for whatever reason.
Right. You know, I'm honest with you. I didn't think of it that way, the way you're explaining it, but it makes sense. And you know, when I think about what you just said, as I'm reflecting on these ideas, I think of there is those two aspects that we that you mentioned, the creationship, the fact that we were restoring. He said, you know, you are to go out to restore other people. You are to go out to serve other people. I have given you that ability. It is for you. It is for mankind that I have established this day. And when I think of those two aspects, I think of two things. One linked to what you just said. But the first is that if we were to remember these things, I think we will have less trouble as Christians accepting that the Sabbath is included in the law of God. Because as you mentioned, it's not about works and doings. It's about the blessing that God intended for us to have in that seventh day Sabbath. And number two, as you mentioned, that idea of that I haven't seen before of that service. I mean, we always talk about the idea of doing really nice things on Sabbath, but that idea of restoring other people, that idea of ministering to those in need, indeed. And the whole establishment of this, I can see but God's mercy and justice combined, his love, his grace for us and for other people through us. Now, let us think about this last point of the forgotten, because that's really where we are now. If you think about it, the forgotten art of the Sabbath ministry. I would like to read a quote that I found in the Welfare Ministry from Ellen G. White. It is. So Welfare Ministry, page 77 says, works of mercy and benevolence were in accordance with the purpose of the Lord. To relieve the afflicted, to comfort the sorrowing, is a labor of love that does honor to God's holy day, which is the Sabbath. We could just transfer that, the holy day, to God's Sabbath. So the best example, I believe, nevertheless, is keeping the Sabbath is demonstrated in the Sabbath giver. And so I want to ask you, when you think about what Christ did in the Sabbath, what comes to your mind, Catalina? What is it that comes like? I think of Jesus, this is what I see him doing on Sabbath.
When I always look at the example, I mean, there was two things that Jesus always did.
Okay.
He was in the synagogue.
Okay.
And then he was ministering. Then he was in service. So I think if we can try and find that balance within the Sabbath, then I think we are in a position where I can say, yes, this is truly the beauty of what the Sabbath can provide for us and for others. I personally am one that I like to do community stuff every other day of the week. So I must say I probably don't do as much community stuff on Sabbath just because I've done a lot during the week.
Sure.
So I tend to find that a Sabbath afternoon is just at home quiet with my family. And that's probably the only time that I have with my family on Sabbath. You know, after potluck, after we've closed the church, then there's probably like about 2 hours before the end of Sabbath that we do spend together. But I know that for some people, they're so busy during the week because of work, kids, and yeah. So Sabbath for them, that's what their afternoon is. You know, Liliana and Freddie, they're like that they have their potluck, we have lunch together, and everyone's still chatting and they're going door knocking. I do believe that there are some people that because of just time restraint, Sabbath afternoon is their visitation time, is their time to go see people that they normally might not be able to see. So I think if we can find that balance within the Sabbath, worship and fellowship and contributing to the body of Christ, and then in addition to that, to be out ministering and do those acts of service that for whatever reason we might not be able to do during the week.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a good place to be.
Yeah. Good. I too, when I think of when I was pondering on this idea of Jesus' example and the Sabbath giver doing something, thought about that. He was found in the synagogue, in the church. He was found healing people. And he spent time with family, friends. I mean, they all went to the same place, I guess, in the synagogue. He walked in nature. I mean, I remember that that aspect of him, he letting his disciples to pick the corn and people whinging about it. So he was obviously walking in nature. He was in a cornfield. Now, there's something staring that I just wanted to point about when I think of Jesus in the synagogue. Because the one verse that I remember, it's obvious that he was a very faithful churchgoer. But there is one verse that comes to my attention that says that Jesus was not just passively in church on Sabbath. Because the verse says, you know, when Jesus went on Sabbath or something like that to the synagogue and he stood up for to read. That tells me that he stood up for to read. He was actively involved in church. And I want to stir people who are listening this up that if you find yourself that are passively involved in church, I would like to encourage you to think about the giver of the Sabbath, but also to think about the blessing that will come if you are participating in your church services. And let us remember something. He wasn't the priest of the synagogue. He wasn't the high priest. He was just anybody else. Nobody recognized him as anything. They did call him master, rabbi, whatever, you know, because they just stirring the pot in the fact that he was very wise. But he didn't have an official position in the synagogue himself. And he participates. So let us think about that. And Sabbath, it's not just for church pew warming. And so I encourage you all to think of that idea.
And in addition to that, I would just say, I have been a pew warmer. And I was very content with my spirituality. I was very content with my faith. I was very content with where I was. However, if we have a look at the scriptures, it says, who can comprehend the height, the depth, and the width of God's love? And I feel that with all of God's gifts, with everything that he gives us, there is a limitless depth to the blessing that can come from it. So even though as a pew warmer, I was still blessed by the Sabbath, I was still had a great walk with God. As I dug deeper into what I could see and find in the Sabbath, I felt that the depth of God's love and the depth of how much God could do in me through doing Sabbath differently, not just sitting at church. The more that I was active in church and the more that I got involved, I felt like my eyes were opened up to another level of God's goodness. I suppose of God working in me. So I do encourage you that if you are feeling like, you know, church is something you just show up, you sit and leave. Yeah, that if you are willing to let God include you in other aspects of the church, that you will see a greater depth of the beauty of the Sabbath and the beauty of service within the church structure as well. So it only gets deeper and richer and sweeter.
It's so many blessings out there that are still in store. I had this quote that I wanted to share with you guys as well, and it's relevant to what Catalina just said. The idea that as we all go on our Christian walk, and as we go on our Christian walk serving and ministering, there's blessings for us at the physical level, at the mental level, at the spiritual level. And Testimonies to the Church says, those who so far as it is possible engage in work of doing good to other people by giving practical demonstration of their interest in them are not only relieving them, but at the same time, we are contributing largely to our own health of soul and body. So it will bring spiritual blessings as well as physical blessings. And definitely this blessing can be found on the Sabbath. I love it.
And Dan, just before we finish, you did make a mention to Isaiah 58.
Yes.
I love that chapter because we're very good at using that chapter in reference to, and you shall call the Sabbath a delight. It's often used to say, hey, this is, you know, the Sabbath is supposed to be something that we're supposed to be happy about. But like you said, why? If we read the verses that are above that, above that verse, which is you shall call the Sabbath a delight, is because you're a ministry. Because you are feeding the hungry, you are clothing the naked, and you are being there for those who don't have a lot of things. So when I look at the context of Isaiah 58, it says, in order for you to find the Sabbath a delight, you should be actively serving those that are in need. And we can take that on a spiritual level or on a physical level.
Mm.
But it, once the Sabbath can become a focus of, hey, let me go out and reach out to someone who is in bondage, whether spiritually or physically, I think that's when you're really going to understand the depth of the beauty of the Sabbath. And if we can always keep ourselves in focus as well, like not just serving others, but understanding what God has done to us and for us, then, I think we're going to be really understanding the depth of what the Sabbath really means.
Yeah, 100%. That's where the whole Disozo program came, right?
Yeah.
Isaiah chapter 58, serving others, ministering to those in need. And, yeah, well, as we conclude these ideas, as you're speaking about this, one thing came to my mind as well, which is this, we started commenting on that, and this aspect of the Sabbath points back to that idea of we were created, like you mentioned, what God has done for us, in us, through us. And it's interesting that the same language, the same concept, we find also in the first angel's message. You know, and you shall go out and preach to the whole world, to, you know, to be a witness to all nations and kindreds and tongues and people. He's saying, you know, you are all the same. You all need to hear this message. You all need to be ministered. And if you already know this message, hey, why not take the time and minister to those who haven't heard it? Doesn't matter if they're drug addicts, alcoholics, widows, orphans, no status, big status, little status, medium status, all, everybody should be about the same level. Let us not forget that. So let's not forget the needs of other people. Let's not forget also our needs and get so bogged down like I do sometimes. And I think Catalina has mentioned that sometimes she has done as well, and little time for family comes. Let us have a delight on the Sabbath. Let us keep a balance. God wants us to keep a balance as well. Catalina, do you have our weekly encouragement? Do you have somebody around the world?
I do.
That does something, who, where, and what do they do that are ministering to
us? So her ministry is called Creating Opportunities. And her name is Creating Opportunities.
Okay.
You can find her on Facebook. And her name is Jolene Danielson.
Okay.
And I only came across her about 2 weeks ago, I think.
Okay.
And she came through off Caleb's page, which is Humans of Adventism.
Oh, yes.
So find them on Facebook and Instagram. But he did a story on her. He did an interview with her. And in that, she shares her ministry, which was that she just started talking to some homeless people that she saw on the street.
Just randomly.
And she, yes, just randomly.
Wow.
And she realized that there were many of them that, you know, once you hear their story, you know, you sort of understand why they are where they are. But one of the things that she decided to start is to start an organization which would print their artwork, and she would then put it on different things. So she does like T-shirts, she does mugs. So basically she helps give them equipment so that they can start painting or drawing or sketching, whatever it is that they that their creative medium is.
Wow.
And she then purchases their artwork. Then she will print that onto different things, like I said, mugs, T-shirts. And then she gives the profit back to the homeless person.
I just wanted to ask, so she goes, she just randomly had this idea. She's seen these homeless people. She notices that they do a lot of things. Not just, they're just bludgeoning. They're creative people like anybody else. They're just normal. They're equal like we do. We're created to be creative.
So she
gives them like rights of ownership. She goes, prints products, sells them, and brings the profit back to them again.
Yes. Okay. So she reproduces their original work in some sort of other format. So whether it's in a T-shirt or a mug, I'm not sure what other else she does. But then whatever profits she makes from those sales, she then gives back to the original artist, which is the homeless person, which I thought was just like, wow, like, you've gone so much further than just sitting and having a chat with them. You've gone so much further than just buying them, you know, a sandwich and a bottle of juice or whatever.
100%.
You've gone further than just throwing money in a little box for them. Like, you're like, let me try and make you see your self-worth. Let me use the gift that God has given you to see that you have a talent. So definitely get on her page. It's really interesting. She's done it really well. She's even put stories of celebrities that were at a point in their life when they were homeless.
Right.
So it's encouraging to see, just to hear the stories of, you know, famous people that actually went through bad patches where they were sleeping in cars or that they were, you know, sleeping on someone's couch. So, yeah, she's done her page really well. So creating opportunities.
Creating opportunities. And, that's a Facebook page.
Yeah, Jolene Danielson.
Daniel Danielson. Okay, excellent. I'll try to search her as well or ask Catalina to send me the right link and I'll put it in the description of today's episode. So nice. What about our challenge? I don't know. I'm already challenged by what you share about Jolene, to be honest. Like, that's a high bar and I'm thinking like, okay.
little by little.
Yeah, give us a little one so that I feel useful.
Okay, so I do want to focus since it is on the Sabbath.
Yes.
But I would like for you, just as Daniel and I did, we sat down and we wrote a list of things of what the Sabbath means to us. I would encourage our listeners to, you know, as you may have nothing to do on a Friday night or on a Sabbath afternoon, to sit down and see what the Sabbath really means to you at this stage in your journey. And based on what you have heard in this episode, how can you try and align your intentions and your purpose for the Sabbath more closely to what could be a Sabbath that has more service in it? So, yeah. List of what the Sabbath means to you. Where you're at right now and how you can make it be, how I can align more with service and thinking of others.
Excellent. I'll tell you, we have done the first part. I feel that I probably could work a little bit on that second part and the intentional aspects of how can I align. So I'll ponder on that. I pray, I reflect, and I will also share what I came with next time. Excellent.
Sounds good.
Anything else, Catalina? I know you have to rush. But anything else?
No, that's pretty much it. But just continue to pray about how God can open opportunities for you to be of service to your community and to the people around you. You'll be surprised how God will open up.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm excited about next week. I'm excited about hearing about the challenges. If you feel impressed to share with us, that will encourage us as well, because I think we are blessed by hearing other people's ministries and testimonies and ideas. So I want to know about that. And I would like to encourage you to reflect also on the idea of God's mercy and justice, which is really what we'll discuss next week. I'm excited about it because this is really who God is, you know, the mercy of the Lamb combined with the justice of the Lion of Judah. So join us next week. And until then, I will keep on loving God in action, remembering Him as somebody who established the Sabbath for my own good and for my own benefit. I'm Dr. Dancy, and you listen to the Adventist Reflections podcast, which is your podcast. Bye.
See you.
Remember to subscribe to this podcast, like it, share it, hashtag it, comment, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Tumblr as Adventist Reflections. God bless you.